Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's again a privilege and an honor to be here worshiping the Lord together. I consider it a great joy to be here with the body of believers at Gabriela Fellowship Church. And thank you again for inviting me back. That means I didn't mess up last time, so it's good. We serve a great God. I have the privilege to be here with my lovely fiancée, Tessa. Some of you might not know this. We're getting married in June. Thank you. Tessa is also a missionary, actually, in Nanaimo. She works for an organization called Youth for Christ, who works with young people in Nanaimo, in and around Nanaimo. She's in three or four different public schools. She does different games clubs, breakfast and lunch programs at different schools. Also works at three different churches with their youth group. Discipleship program. She's fully engaged in serving the Lord with young people in Nanaimo. So if you remember that, pray for Tessa, pray for Youth for Christ. She works with her dad in Nanaimo. And starting June, both of us will be serving the Lord together at Cape Henry Harbor. So if you come for a ladies' retreat or a men's retreat or the holiday Bible week, you will see us there this summer. Some of you might know this, but I'm from India, from a southwest coast of India. If you don't know where that is, you can go out to the parking lot and start digging a hole 70 degrees to the ground, and you'll end up on the other side of the world, and you'll pop up in my house. I'm from the southwest coast of India, from a province called Kerala and a city called Angamali. My parents are in full-time ministry. They actually run a Bible school with some children's programs and a radio ministry back in India. So I grew up in this ministry context, just seeing how the Lord works in and through our family. In my family, I am the fifth generation of believers, which is pretty unique. My five generations up, so great-great-great-great-grandpa was the first Christian in our town, and he was actually brought to the Lord by a missionary from England. So he heard the message of Christ, and he put his faith in Jesus, and as soon as he put his faith in Jesus, his family started to put their faith in Jesus, and therefore my grandfather also became a Christian that way. And my grandfather decided to be our first missionary from our family. He decided to go to a town called Kannur. Kannur is a Hindu-dominated town, and he decided to preach the gospel in this Hindu-dominated town. And there he decided to do one-month Bible school. So he did kind of a Bible study every evening, invited his friends over, and that turned into a Bible school for 1 year program in 1992. That's when my parents joined this ministry with my grandpa, my dad and mom. They decided that they'll help my grandpa, and they've been doing that since 1992. And I grew up with my brother, Jeremy, who is 4 years younger than me. He's actually at Cape Henry Harbor this year doing his second year Bible school. So it's a privilege to be in God's work, in God's ministry, serving the Lord wherever we are. And one thing I can say, that God is faithful throughout all his generations. Doesn't matter if it's the first generation or the fifth generation, God's character stays the same. In 2008, when I was in grade 10, our Bible school, being in a Hindu-dominated community, we had lots of troubles with our neighbors. They didn't like us growing. They didn't like us developing. They didn't like the worship music. There's always some sort of complaints that we would hear from our community. And literally, if this was a Bible school, right across from the parking lot was a Hindu temple. And we lived right across from that temple. So every day morning, you open the windows or the door, you see the temple right in front of you. And they have festivals that go overnight, so you hear like drums and trumpets and horns and dancing going on in this temple. And then we had our Bible school right across from there. So there was a war zone. The devil and the Spirit of God was both at work there. And we got to witness lots of actions of the devil against us. In 2008, we had a we had a situation in our Bible school where when my parents were away, I was down at the Bible school with the Bible school students, just hanging out in the evening time. We had about, actually we were just in the parking lot, just hanging out with each other. I saw a guy just running and swearing and yelling and running to us with a big stick. And we were like, what's going on? What's the point? What's the matter? So he starts running right at us, and we are like, okay, we have to go meet him and figure out what's going on. So we go to him. As we take a few steps forward, we see 20 other guys behind him with huge sticks running and yelling at us. And we were like freaked out. And they started like yelling, attack. We just had to run away. We had to hide. Our students got hit. I was luckily ran into the bathroom where I found other students with me. So I was under their protection. But then we figured out it wasn't safe in the bathroom, because if they came in, we are pretty much stuck. So we ran out of the bathroom, ran into the kitchen, over the wall, back into my house. I'm calling my dad, who's an hour away, trying to ask him to come back, and crying on the phone and trying to call the police. And my dad is like, calls the police, and he gets back as soon as possible. This all happened in 10 minutes. They came, they destroyed our buildings, our windows, doors, cars, hit our students, and they left in 10 minutes. And we were all like, what just happened? About half an hour later, the cops came, they investigated what happened, they figured out what happened. There was a guy who was kind of a leader of this Hindu community. Actually, he became a Christian and started to serve with us in our Bible school. But then the devil started prompting him back to his Hinduism, and he started joining back to a Hindu community and brought them all with him to attack our Bible school and our ministry there. So the cops came, called my dad to the police station, and they're all sitting right in front of the cop. He's asking questions, and he figured out this guy is guilty because he brought all these people to attack, and asked my dad, hey, file a case and we'll arrest him right now. And my dad was like, he could have said that. And there was things that was building up to this point. And he said, we forgive him. We don't want him coming back to our property again, but we forgive him, no charges against him. And the cop was stunned. He was like, are you serious? He just destroyed your buildings. He just destroyed your cars. He just destroyed your students. And you're just forgiving him. And that moment shook my life with my relationship with my father, my relationship with my heavenly father as well. In the Bible, it says in John chapter 16, verse 33, that in this world, you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. And in me, you will have peace. My dad knew what it means to serve the Lord. My dad knew that in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have persecution. You will have people against you. But guess what? Take courage. For he has overcome the world. And in him, you will have peace. To this morning, I want to talk about a life that God has given us that is unshakable. Doesn't matter what happens around us. A life that God has given us that is unshakable. I want to spend most of our time in Hebrews chapter 12 and 13. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn into Hebrews chapter 12 and 13. We'll read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. It says, and his voice shook the earth then. And that's talking about when God visited Moses at Mount Sinai from Exodus chapter 19. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, For our God is a consuming fire. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 12, 25 to 29 says that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If we have our feet standing firm on this kingdom, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who is against us. It doesn't matter our circumstances, our situations. We can stand firm and we won't be shaken. It says, let us show gratitude by which we offer service to God with reverence and awe. Many times in this culture, we are used to gratitude as just saying thank you. We receive something, we just say thank you, and that's it. But gratitude is not just saying thank you. It's an attitude in your heart. It's an attitude, deep attitude of thankfulness in your heart. And that's what he says. We offer service to God with our gratitude, with reverence and awe. Again, reverence, something that we rarely see these days. Many times we act as if God is our buddy. You know what I mean? If we forget that God is a consuming fire, we remove our reverence to God and replace it with more casual talk. And which is great. God is our friend. God is our father. But there is a point where we have to show reverence to God. In the Old Testament, we see people fearing God, and that's being afraid of God. But the Bible says there's two kinds of fear. You can be afraid of God, which is going to be disable you, but you can also be the fear, which is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that fear is a deep reverence to God that comes. Now, many times our prayers to God are counseling God, telling God what to do, giving God some advice. Hey, God, let's not have rain tomorrow because we want to do this. Hey, God, can you do this for us next week? Most of our prayers are like that. And we might not know this, but it's natural in our mind. We forget who God is. We forget his character. We forget how amazing and how awesome and how almighty he is. And that's why it comes down to showing reverence, showing respect out of deep love to God. And that's huge and that's important. I don't know how many of you know Louis Giglio. He's a pastor down from the States. He did a series called How Great Is Our God? And he talked about the stars in the sky. So he looks at scientific things and figures out, okay, there's no way man could have designed this. There's no way this could have happened from just an explosion. There's no way a scientist or a biologist could figure these things out. And he looks at how awesome and amazing God is. And in his series, he talks about one star, which is the largest star known to human beings. It's the Canis Majoris. And Canis Majoris, to give you some perspective, if Earth was a golf ball, so imagine Earth being a golf ball. Canis Majoris is the height of Mount Everest. So if you're on top of Mount Everest and you look down, you put the golf ball down, and if you try to spot the golf ball, that's Earth. And Canis Majoris is the height of Mount Everest. And we are one of 6 billion people on that golf ball. And guess what? God still loves us. God still cares for each one of us. That's how big God is. I just want to give you a quick video here. Again, this is part of the series that he did, but just to give you some sense of what it is like to be on Earth. So just giving a glance of the planets, the stars. We see Moon, Mercury, Mars in our solar system. Soon comes Earth. Earth is pretty amazing. If you ask anyone, it's a pretty awesome planet. But soon we realize we are not the biggest deal, even in our solar system. There's more bigger planets. It's Neptune. You can see how small the Earth is right now. We are still in our solar system. We see the Sun now, our own star. The blue dot that you see far away, that's not the Earth, that's Neptune. Sirius, the brightest star ever known. Take on a challenge to come up here with a safety pin or a Sharpie to mark the Earth, you can't really see that anymore. Just some amazing things that God creates. Canis Majoris, the largest star known. Again, where's Earth? But God created that Earth, and God created each one of us to be on that Earth. And this just gives you a perspective that how amazing and how big, how strong, how almighty our God is. It's bigger than what we can imagine. But in our minds, we try to talk with God. We try to consider God as someone weak, someone who cannot do much more than what we can imagine. His ability is beyond what we can think. Canis Majoris right here. One more cool fact about it is that in Canis Majoris, you can fit 7 quadrillion Earths. Now, that's 24 zeros after 7. And you can fit that many Earths in that star right there. And guess what? This is just a small part of the universe that we know. This is just what humans can figure out. Maybe in a couple of years, this is going to be a bigger one, and bigger one. And that just shows how great our God is. And we are called to show reverence to this God. We are called to fear this God in a way that we show him love and respect from our hearts. Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27 says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That's where life begins, when we start to show reverence, gratitude to God. Now, this all comes with the life that God gives us that is indestructible. We read that in Hebrews chapter 7, just a couple pages back, about Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16, it says, "And this is clearer still, if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law or physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life." In the Old Testament, we know that priests, you have to be in the tribe of Levites to be a priest. But in the New Testament, we read that, hey, guess what? It's not based on, and it's no longer based on a physical requirement. It's no longer based on cultural requirement. No longer based on a society requirement. It's based according to the power of an indestructible life that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no physical requirement, but only through the power of His Spirit. Now, I want to share a story from the Bible where this indestructible life where is made evident through a parable that Jesus says. He talks about this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. And most of us know this parable from Sunday school, youth groups. We have heard it a lot. Matthew chapter 7. It's the two houses. One was built on a rock, and the other one was built on sand. I'm just going to read that from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. Great was its fall." When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, for he was teaching on them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And this is a familiar story where basically what's going on is there's two houses. One is built on a rock and one is built on the sand. Both of them pretty much look alike from the outside. Same paint, same windows, same doors, same lighting, same garages. It's great. Looks great. But what happens? The wind comes, and which one falls apart? The one on the sand. Now, why does that happen? Because the one on the sand didn't have a good foundation. The one on the rock had a good foundation. In our terms today, both houses, let's consider them, both people, both of them might look alike from the outside. They go to a Sunday morning church service. They are engaged in some sort of volunteering, service in the community. They're engaged in a small Bible study. They read their Bibles. They pray. But when a wind blows, when a storm comes, you will know how strong each house is. And the stability of the house is not based on how it looks, how tall it is, how wide it is. The stability of the house is based on the foundation. A cool thing about the foundation is the area. You don't really see the foundation when you look at a house. Foundation is the hidden area that's under the house that holds the house together. This wise man who built the house on the rock, he decided to not just hear the word, but to obey. For him to build a house on the rock, he had to dig till he reached the rock. It took some work. It might be costly to get the rock. But he obeyed. And he did that. Foundations are the hidden areas in our life. And it's the foundation that determines whether we shake or not. What are those hidden areas in our life? Or in some sense, how are we when no one is around us? Because most of the time it's a public show. We like to show off to others what we are like. We like to present ourselves as, okay, we are Sunday going, church going, Sunday members. We go to Bible study. We are good. We dress up nice. But what are we when we are by ourselves? When we are just with our families? Those are the areas that determine if we are on the foundation of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that Christ is that rock. If we don't build our life on this rock, we're going to fall apart. But when we build our life on this rock, which is Christ, and His indestructible life, we can live an unshakable life. A life that cannot be shaken. A house, when the storms come, we know that we are standing firm. Because Christ is someone that never changes. And He is the foundation. He is the rock that we can build our lives on. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, next chapter over, we read not just an unshakable kingdom, but we now have an unshakable promises. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, we read like this. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave thee, nor will I ever forsake you. And that's a promise. God's word never changes. God's promises never changes. It doesn't change if you're feeling excited one day. It doesn't change if you're feeling lonely and discouraged one day. God's promises doesn't change according to our circumstances. And I might have shared this before. Gravity, simple example. You can agree with gravity. You can disagree with gravity. You can fight with gravity. You can say gravity doesn't exist. You can believe in gravity. You can feel anything about gravity. By the end of the day, you drop something, it still falls on the ground. Gravity doesn't change according to how you feel. God's promises doesn't change according to how you feel. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus said, the heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. My brothers and sisters, God's promises that He will never leave you nor forsake you won't pass away. That's the truth. The truth never changes. Doesn't matter what situations you guys are in. Doesn't matter when you feel like God is not with you. When you feel like everything is falling apart. When you feel like this is not how things are supposed to be. Where is God? Even in that moment, God's promises are still unshakable. God promises that He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, believe and obey this promise even in the midst of trials and tribulations. David talks in Psalm 23 that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because You are with me. How many of us can say that when we're walking in the midst of trial, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of circumstances that's discouraging us, that's weighing down on us, that seems all wrong? Even in the midst of that, how many of you can say, you know what? I fear no evil because I know that the Lord is with me. And I know that His promises are unshakable. It says, in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, it says, for I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And I think in the situation with my dad in the cop's office, it's the same thing. He believed the Lord was his helper. He doesn't have to be afraid of man. He can do what God would do. He can do what Jesus would do. He can live a life that is unshakable and indestructible. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because You are with me. So we see the unshakable kingdom. We see the unshakable promises. But in the following verses, we also see an unshakable and unchanging person. We see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. That might seem pretty simple, short sentence, but that contains everything you can imagine. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. We also read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that He was before all things. In Him, all things hold together. He is unchanging. He can never change. That's his character. The character of God doesn't change according to how we feel about him. Now, he's the same God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the same God who created the earth and Canis Majoris, the biggest star. He's the same God who brought the flood and rescued Noah and his family. Same God who called Moses. Same God who delivered his people out of slavery from Israel, from Egypt. Same God who helped David kill Goliath. Same God who gave Solomon his wisdom. Same God who was with Daniel in the lion's den. Same God who turned water into wine. Same God who healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. He's the same God who saved humanity from the penalty of sin. And it's the same God who defeated death by rising back again on the third day. Same God who lives today in you and me and wants us to live a life that's unshakable. My brothers and sisters, how is our lives today? Are we easily shaken? When situations and circumstances happen, do we jump the boat and say, you know what? Nothing is working here. The analogy of faith, many youth pastors, I work in youth ministry, so many youth pastors use this analogy of faith with the chair, and many pastors do this. You have a chair, you can believe all you want that it's going to hold me. I can talk about the chair's strength, ability, brand, company, weight-hold ratio, everything. And I believe that it's going to hold me. But faith is an action word. Faith only happens if I ever sit on that chair. I can know about the chair. I can tell everything about the chair. I can say, I believe in that chair. That's awesome. But faith doesn't happen until I sit on that chair. And the same with our lives. We can know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We can know and think, yes, there is unshakable promises, there is unshakable kingdom, Jesus is unchanging, he still cares for us. But do we act on it? Do we have faith in it? Do we believe it? Do we stand on Christ the rock? Or are we hanging on to the things that can be shaken easily? If you look in the world, so many things that can be shaken easily. Titanic. People say, you know what? Indestructible. This is like the best ship you can have. Guess what? In the Bible, we see the Tower of Babel. World Trade Centers. Even our relationships. Many times we think our relationships are really strong and we try to hang on to it. But those things can be shaken. Things that can be shaken will be shaken. And the things that will remain are the things that cannot be shaken. An unshakable kingdom that God has given us. Unshakable promises that God has given us. And the unshakable person, Jesus Christ, who doesn't change. And through his power, through his spirit, through his life, each one of us could live a life that's indestructible, a life that is unshakable. God doesn't just want us to be in this world, go to school, get a job, get married, have children, have grandchildren, retire, and then die. That's basically the lifespan of a human being. God, that's not just what God wants us to do. There's so much more that God has for each one of us. Yes. There's so much more. Many times we are content with what's good when God has something better and the best. And sometimes the good stands in the way of what God has for us. Many times we are content with that. But God asks us to take a step out of our comfort zone from what we think is good to experience the best that God has for us. And that best could be tricky. That best could be shaky. That best could seem like everything is falling apart. But even in those circumstances, when God calls us, He's faithful to be with us. And His character, His promises, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, will never change. And that has encouraged me in my walk with the Lord, when situations seem like, what am I doing here in Canada? Why am I here? How am I going to provide for myself? How am I going to go to school? Where am I going to live? So much things like that come in our daily life. And that could look different for each one of you. But every step along the way, there's God who never changes. Every step along the way, His promises never changes. And if we put our feet on Christ the rock, we won't be shaken. Doesn't matter how strong the wind is. Doesn't matter how strong the storm is. We can stand firm in Jesus Christ. So, we shared about this last time I was here too, the gospel message. And the gospel message is that we cannot do this. We cannot work our way up to God. We cannot do enough good things to achieve God's salvation. God just didn't give us a way out. He is the way. God just didn't give us a plan B. It was plan A. God just doesn't want us to save us from the penalty of sin. He actually wants to live that indestructible life in and through you today. Many times we think about eternal life. We think about, okay, that's when we die and go to heaven. We'll have eternity with Jesus. Yes, that's true. But eternal life is His life today, right now. That indestructible, unshakable life today. And I don't know where each one of us are with our walk with the Lord, but I know that God wants to live that life in and through you. In Colossians we read, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is the only hope of God's presence here is through the life of Jesus. The only hope that we can ever get that relationship back with God is through Jesus. The only hope where we can stand firm even looking out in what's going on in the world is only through Jesus. In Canada, we think we are pretty safe. Last week, I don't know how many of you heard this, but we had at VIU, Vancouver Island University, we had a lockdown, emergency lockdown, telling us that there's a shooter out in the loose. And I was at the class. I was actually doing a presentation. I introduced myself. Hi, my name is Jeffrey. And then all of a sudden, the alarm goes on. And everyone's like, what's going on? People were freaked out. People were scared. There's no other information. We have our phones, so we are on Facebook and Twitter figuring out what's going on here. And all we can hear is people saying, hey, someone saw a guy outside with a gun. And we're like, what, in Canada? In Nanaimo? Our security system, our safety system can be shaken. It's hard to choose that. It's hard to believe the truth. But once you believe and act upon it and have faith on it, we can live a life that cannot be shaken, even amongst the things that can be shaken easily. If you pray with me together. We know that God created us to have a relationship with Him. He's a creator God. He created the heavens and the earth. He wanted to enjoy fellowship with us. But man started to sin. He started to disobey. And since God is a holy God, He cannot handle sin. That sin separated us from His presence. And we know throughout the Old Testament, we see people trying and trying and trying to be unshakable. Trying and trying and trying to get that relationship back with God. But nothing they did ever got them stable. No human abilities, no sacrifices that people did ever got them to stand firm. God has to choose to send His Son. He chose to send Jesus down to this earth. He chose His Son to die for each one of us. And He did that so that He could save us from the penalty of sin. And penalty of sin was death. But He just didn't do that to save us from the penalty of sin. But He did that so that everyone who trusts in Him would have this eternal life, a life that's indestructible, a life that is unshakable. A life where we can say, even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. That's the life that God wants us to do. That's the life that He wants to give us. And that life starts now and lasts forever. It's eternal. All we have to do is trust Him and obey His commandments, obey His promises, believe in Him, have faith in Him. Look at each one of our lives. What are some things that can be shaken? What are some things that are easily shaken? Are those things firmed on Christ the rock? Do our life stand on that rock that cannot be shaken? On that person that is unchanging? On those promises that are unshakable? Are we standing on the unchanging promises of God? Maybe you have a relationship with Jesus. You've been following Jesus. You've been serving Jesus. But you know that there are areas in your life that are easily shaken. Put those things on Christ the rock. Cast all your burdens to Him. He wants to give you life. Indestructible life. Father God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You love us, even though we are on a tiny, tiny planet, on a tiny, tiny island. You still care for us. Thank You that You're an awesome God. You're Almighty Creator. You're our Master. Father, we love You, we respect You, we come before You with a heart full of gratitude, thanking You for things that You have done, is doing, and is going to do. Father, help us that we may not box You down and limit Your abilities. We want to thank You for the life that You've given us. The indestructible life. Father, we pray that whatever situations we are in, whatever circumstances we are in, whatever struggles we are going through, that we could stand firm on You and say that the Lord is my helper. I shall fear no man. Father, give us strength, give us courage, give us boldness to stand on that rock. Father, thank You that You have a huge and a big purpose and plan for each one of us. And we pray that we would not just be content with the good, but choose You over what we think our plans are. Because You have the best for us. Father, thank you that you know the ins and out of everyone here. You know the ins and out of every human being on this planet. We thank you for who you are, an unchanging God. A God who is faithful. A God whose character doesn't change. We praise you for who you are, Father, and help us that we may be obedient to your voice and walk daily according to your will and your purpose and your plan. Thank you for your words this morning as well. In your name we pray. Amen.